Hello and welcome to the Commander's Quarters. I'm your host, Mitch. Glad to have you here. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about Commander on a budget. Today we have an episode of Commander's Two Cents. On episodes like these, I give you my own personal take on topics about the format in general and current news. This show and episodes like this one are possible thanks to viewers like you. If you're looking for an easy way to help support this show, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Also, hit that bell notification icon so you don't miss any new episodes. And while you're at it, subscribe and review our podcast as well. You can also go check out our playmats and other merchandise at thecommanderscourters.com. Another easy way to support this show is with our TCG player affiliate links. So whether you're buying a deck or individual cards, you can use this general link right here or one in the description. And the final way that you can support this show is by supporting us directly by becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, and I truly couldn't do this without all their support. Hey everyone, Mitch coming in from the Commander's Quarters studio. Welcome to the show. So on today's episode, I'm going to talk about one of the new-ish spoiled cards that everyone's really excited, not everyone, I guess, many people are really excited about coming out in M21, and that's going to be Fiery Emancipation. It's a fantastic card, and it shows kind of this new design space that Wizards is continuing to work in. And my question for today is going to be, you know, is this, you know, a new Commander staple? Now, when I say staple, I don't mean auto-include. You know, some players, you know, consider certain cards to be auto-includes. I don't think there's such thing as an auto-include, but that's a discussion for a different day. Anyways, let's jump into Fiery Emancipation. I'm going to talk about kind of a comparison card to it and then certain decks that it could fit in and be really good in. So let's start off with Fiery Emancipation. It is an enchantment that costs 3 red, so 6 mana total. If a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage to that permanent or player instead. So we have seen this kind of effect before, but in a lesser way. So yes, this one is basically going to triple up all of your damage, which is just a fantastic effect. And this only triples it, you know, it only triples your damage, it doesn't triple anyone else's. Now, we have seen doubling effects when it comes to damage, but we have never seen tripling. And the comparison card that kind of opened up this new design space, it seems, for Wizards is going to be Nyxbloom Ancient, which came from Throne of Eldraine. It's a 5/5 elemental with trample that costs 4 green. It says if you tap a permanent for mana, it produces 3 times as much of that mana instead. So, basically, yeah, tripling up your mana, extremely powerful in Commander. Obviously, mana is a very, very, very valuable thing, and Commander ramping is very important. So yeah, damage is going to be kind of the red version of this. Now, I think that Wizards is probably going to kind of continue this trend and, you know, tripling effects. They're going to take, you know, whatever doubling effects they had in other colors. You know, I guess the ones that are left are going to be black, white, and blue. Kind of what, you know, tripling effects they might have in there, that might be a discussion for another day. But this is kind of exciting that they're continuing this trend. Obviously, you know, Nyxbloom Ancient, pretty popular in Commander. Basically, I think it's around, it's seeing play in a decent number of decks, even though it's a $17 card right now and it costs 7 mana. But yeah, it is just kind of, you know, once it hits the field, it is a huge card, and, you know, players really need to deal with it quickly, or it can get really out of control. And I think a similar thing is going to happen with Fiery Emancipation. I mean, this effect is brutal. You know, tripling all of your damage can just be extremely effective, especially for the right deck. And also, the kind of the main difference between this one is, I guess Nyxbloom is an enchantment, but it's also a creature, which makes it much easier to deal with or steal or whatnot than Fiery Emancipation, which is just an enchantment. So this one, yeah, costs 1 less mana. It's not dealing with mana, it's dealing with damage. But yeah, it is harder to deal with. And yeah, in the right deck, this thing can just do an incredible job. Again, tripling up damage instead of doubling, and it only does your damage, not your opponent's. So yeah, this one can be huge. Commanders that come to mind, let's start off with Nekusar, the Mind Razor. It has, at the beginning of each player's draw, set the player draws this real card. Whenever an opponent draws a card, Nekusar, the Mind Razor, deals 1 damage to that player. So this is going to deal on every single player's turn because they're drawing 2 cards instead of one. It's going to be dealing them 6 total damage because, you know, they're going to draw, you know, their normal card, their additional card, and they're going to take 3 per each one. So every single time they draw a card, they're taking 3 damage. That's 6 damage at least each turn. That's not even counting any kind of other draw effects that they might have. That's an incredible amount of damage that this can dish out. And yeah, that is, I think that'll probably find a way in a lot of Nekusar's decks. Fiery Emancipation could also find a way into some Nib-Mizzet decks. Let's just talk about Nib-Mizzet Perrin. Obviously, other Nib-Mizzets work similarly. It has, whenever you draw a card, Nib-Mizzet deals 1 damage to any target. And whenever a player casts an in-source sorcery spell, you draw a card. So yeah, now instead of just dealing 1 damage to any target, you know, it's just pinging it, you're dealing a lightning bolt worth of damage every single time you draw a card. Anytime any player casts an in-source sorcery, lightning bolt. Just an absolute kind of powerhouse to kind of have both of these in play at the same time. Again, that can take out creatures really quickly, can take out players really quickly. It's going to be pretty huge. So one that kind of goes on the opposite end of Niv-Mizzet Perrin is more so like Brawlin, Skyshark Rider, which partners with Shabrazz, but the one that matters with this is going to be Brawlin. And he has, whenever you discard a card, put a +1/+1 counter on Brawlin, and it deals one damage to each opponent. So if you're wheeling with seven cards in your hand, you're discarding your seven. That's seven different times that this is going to ping for one damage. But since it's not going to be one, it's going to triple to three. Three damage reads, that's 21 damage every single time you wheel with a full hand. That is an absurd amount of damage each opponent. More math real quick. That's 63 damage, whatever, you know, if you're counting each opponent total. So that's an absurd amount of damage, again, that this can help you kind of deal out. It's going to be, you know, you can easily end the game, you know, in one turn just when getting both of these things in play and just kind of just saying, okay, you know, I'm going to wheel once, wheel twice, and everyone's dead. It's just an absolute kind of powerhouse of a card. Obviously, this can find a way into Firesong Sunspeaker, a 4/6 Minotaur Cleric that costs 4 red and a white. Red instant and sorcery spells, you control have lifelink, and whenever instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, Firesong and Sunspeaker deals 3 damage to a creature or player. Many players play this with kind of like red board wipe tribal, essentially. You're just dealing out a ton of damage basically to all creatures. You're gaining all life. And then this just triples that amount of damage, which is just absolutely absurd. And again, if you're casting out of any white instant sorcery spells to gain life, you're dealing out 9 damage instead of 3. Brian Stoutarm is another one that can work great with this. It's a 4/4 giant warrior with lifelink and has pay a red and tap and sacrifice another creature. It deals damage to equal to the sacrifice creature power to any target or to target player. So basically, yeah, you're mostly with this kind of a deck, players are using kind of theft effects to kind of steal a creature and then sacrifice with Brian Stoutarm. So yeah, you sacrifice, you know, you steal someone's, you know, 6 power creature, you throw it at someone else. Now you're dealing 18 damage instead. So yeah, this makes it just incredibly deadly. Halar the Fire Fletcher is a 3/3 elf archer with trample. Whenever you cast a spell, if that spell was kicked, put a +1/+1 counter on Halar the Fire Fletcher, and then it deals damage equal to the number of +1/+1 counters on it to each opponent. So yeah, you're just working to get +1/+1 counters on Halar, and then you cast a kick spell, or you kick a spell, and then it deals damage to each opponent. Let's say you've got even, you know, just, you know, 4 +1/+1 counters on Halar. That's going to be 12 damage for each opponent. And again, you know what? 36. So some fun math happens with this card. But yeah, basically, it just really kind of speeds up the, you know, the kill clock on all your opponents. You know, the second this is in play, it says, hey, you know what we were doing? Things are going to get 3 times faster now. So yeah, you better take it out or it's going to get out of hand. Judith the Scourge Diva, Great Aristocrat Style Commander. It says whenever a non-token creature you control dies, Judith deals 1 damage to any target. So yeah, that turns that 1 damage again into 3, kind of like that Niv-Mizzet where you're just kind of being able to ping either creatures down or ping players down. It can be a fantastic way, again, you know, if you've got a lot of things to sacrifice on your board, you're just sacrificing creature after creature after creature, dealing 3 damage. You can take out players very quickly with this. One that can be really mean and really fun, Karavek the Merciless. Whenever an opponent plays a spell, Karavek the Merciless deals damage to that to target creature or player equal to that spell's converted mana cost. So yeah, this just makes playing spells for your opponents a lot more painful. Yeah, so if they cast something that again has, you know, converted mana cost of 5, you're saying, okay, yeah, now instead of just dealing 5 damage to something, which is a lot, I'm dealing 15. So yeah, your opponents have to be really careful with what they're doing. They've got to be able to take out, you know, your pieces or things are going to get out of hand. Clothis, God of Destiny, it can be a good kind of group slug commander. We've got a bunch of our enchantments in play that are already kind of pinging everyone, you know, when they do certain things, their upkeep or whatnot. So you're just kind of taking everyone's life toll down. Clothis has, at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a land card, add red or green. Otherwise, you gain 2 life and Clothis deals 2 damage each opponent. So yeah, instead of it being 2 damage each opponent, that's going to be, 6 damage each opponent. So yeah, again, 18 damage each turn just for doing that, just for having both of these in play. It can be definitely, you know, a death sentence to many opponents and just taking them all out. Another somewhat similar commander that can be used kind of in a group slug type of deck is going to be Mogus, God of Slaughter. It has, at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, Mogus deals 2 damage to that player unless they sacrifice a creature. So basically, yeah, that's not too hard of a kind of choice to make for many players. You know, if you've got some really good creatures on the board early, you know, you're going to say, okay, yeah, I'm not going to sacrifice something for 2 damage. You know, I'll just take the 2. That's not that big of a deal. You know, that's like a shock land, essentially. But tripling that up and saying, okay, yeah, now, how about this? Instead of sacrificing a creature, you have to take 6. They're going to be more apt to sacrifice some creatures. And of course, you've got some other ways, again, kind of like your Clothis deck, where you're just dealing out damage to everyone, and it's going to be tripling. It's going to be, you know, the ways that they can't, you know, choose not to take damage, you know. So it's going to be a much more punishing type of deck once you have something like that in play that triples up the damage. Omnath, Locus of Rage is another fantastic card, or a commander for a card like this. It has whenever it or another elemental you control dies, deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Say that triples that up. That's going to be instead, it's going to be 9 damage every single time an elemental dies. You've got plenty of ways to create a lot of elementals with that deck. Essentially, again, it has landfall. Whenever land comes into play, you get an elemental. So sacrificing those elementals now deals a lot more damage. It's going to be a lot harder for your opponents to deal with it. Again, if you've got a board of, say, 10 elementals, if someone casts a board wipe and just tries to take them all out, they're dead. You're just going to ping them down and probably 2 players down at least. Next up, there's Purphoros, God of the Forge. A 6/5 god with indestructible. It has whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 2 damage to each opponent. So a deck with Purphoros is generally going to be making a lot of tokens and pinging your opponents, 2 damage at a time. This says, hey, let's speed up that clock just a little bit. And, instead of dealing 2 damage, again, it's going to be 6. So every single time you make a token, that's 6 damage, which is absolutely absurd, again, to each opponent. That's 18 damage for just one tiny token coming in. You're pinging everyone for a ton of damage. And, yeah, your kill clock is going to get a lot faster. And, again, especially with Purphoros and Fiery Emancipation can be extremely hard to deal with, again, because both are enchantments. Again, Purphoros, if you do have, that devotion to red, I guess you essentially need no other enchantments in play that are red, or no other things in play that are red, because Purphoros would become a creature. Still very hard to deal with since it's indestructible, but yeah, basically, it's going to be tough to kind of take both these out, or either, you can do a lot of damage with Purphoros. Another one that can get quite annoying to some players that like to ramp, Zozu the Punisher, a 2/2 Goblin Warrior that costs 1 red. Says whenever a land enters the battlefield, Zozu the Punisher deals 2 damage to that land's controller. So yeah, this one, keep in mind, does affect you as well. But if you're kind of more so using, you don't have a lot of land ramp when it comes to red, you're going to be using more kind of mana rocks and sources like that to get your ramp. But yeah, that player that likes to ramp, and cast a lot of ramp spells, every single time they do, instead of taking 2, they're going to be taking 6. So they might take, they might think twice before casting, another explosive vegetation or whatnot, essentially. So yeah, you can deal a ton of damage. One that gets absolutely absurd is Rurikthar the Unbowed. Rurikthar the Unbowed is a 6/6 Ogre Warrior that costs 4 red and a green. Attacks each combat if Fable says Vigilance and Reach. But yeah, the main part that really matters is whenever a player casts a non-creature spell, Rurikthar deals 6 damage to that player. So yeah, that is, instead, 6 is already a ton. That's a lot, if you're casting, let's say a Mana Rock. You're just like, okay, yeah, 6 damage to cast a Mana Rock is, oof, that hurts. But yeah, 18 damage to cast it is never going to happen. So yeah, you're essentially kind of like locking players out of actually casting, certain cards, because yeah, instead 6 damage is sometimes justifiable for certain things. 18 is absurd. If someone has to cast a board wipe now, they're really going to pay for that to try to take this out. Then you just get it back out, and then yeah, you're going to be dealing more damage. It's going to be a lot. One that really can be effective is Obosh the Prey Piercer. So I mean, it can be used as a companion, but let's talk about it as a commander. 3/5 Hellion Horror that costs 3 Rakdos. If a source you control with an odd converted mana cost would deal damage to a permanent or player, deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead. So yeah, you're going to be already doubling up your damage with this. You're going to be tripling it with the other thing. Obviously it has to be a spell or a source, basically, that that has an odd converted mana cost. But there's going to be plenty of those that can dish out damage for you. So yeah, you're going to be doubling and tripling, which is going to be I don't want to do the math on that. It's going to be a lot of damage. Torbran, Thane of Red Fells, another one that can be fantastic with this. It says if a red source you control would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, it deals that much damage plus 2. So yeah, if you're dealing out, let's just start off with 1 damage, from a red source, essentially it's going to deal 3 damage instead, and then it triples to 9. So it goes from 1 to 9, essentially, just because you have these 2 things in play. So yeah, you can really finish off opponents quickly with any kind of damaging effects, essentially. Just again, some fantastic ways to dish out damage. One thing to keep in mind with this is that, it triples up damage, which essentially is, double strike is a thing, but triple strike isn't really a thing. Maybe it should be. Probably not. But basically, this kind of makes certain commanders just into deadly one-shot kills. Obviously, they're already going to be good with it with maybe some of the other synergies that you have in the deck. But if your commander has, 7 or more power, essentially, you're just going to be able to finish opponents off with one shot just with this. So this is kind of like, it's not really, I don't think, intended to be a Voltron card, but it essentially kind of can turn a deck that wasn't really planning on a Voltron strategy into, hey, I can win in this way too now because my commander can just dish out 21 points of damage or more per turn. One that actually doesn't have, the enough power for it, but actually does work, is Giselle, Blade of Gold Knight, a 5/5 Angel Flying First Strike. If a source would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, that source deals double that damage to that permanent player opponent instead. If a source would deal damage to you or a permanent you control, prevent half that damage rounded up. So, or rounded up. So basically, yeah, it halves the amount of damage dealt to you, and it doubles the amount of damage dealt to your opponents. So yeah, this is going to, yeah, say, okay, we're going to double, then triple. Math, anyway, Giselle's going to be able to hit for a lot more, you know, than the amount of, I think it hits for, what, 30 then at that point, I believe. Essentially, yeah, so you're going to be able to deal, you know, one-shot kills just with your Giselle again. And also other things you're going to have in that deck, you know, you might have some, red damage spells that can deal an absurd amount of damage now, too. So you can take out multiple opponents in a single turn very easily with that. Borborygmos Enrage is another one that can, you know, really take out opponents quickly. A 7-6 Cyclops with Trample that costs 4 red, red, green, green. When it deals combat damage to a player, you can get lands based off the top. But yeah, you can discard a land. It deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So Borborygmos is going to, you know, again, it's a 7-6, so it's going to be dealing 7 damage, triple that to 21. If you just hit someone, that's just a one-shot kill if you can get it through. Again, it's got Trample, so, you know, it can go over things, and, you know, if you need to kill someone in 2 hits, that's good as well. But yeah, you can also just ping a player's down, you know, instead of, you know, dealing 3 damage per lane you're discarding, you're dealing out 9, which is absolutely absurd. So again, the second you can get this down, you can easily take out multiple players and perhaps just win the game once you have that down with enough lands in your hand. And yeah, if you, you know, got an opening to hit one player with Borborygmos. So yeah, another commander that's actually mono red that could actually really work with this, that is kind of, it's a janky fun commander. It's not, you know, overly powerful, but yeah, it can be a really fun commander. It's going to be Dracuseth Maw of Flames. 7-7 Flying Dragon that costs 4 red, red, red. When it attacks, it deals 4 damage to any target and 3 damage each of the 2 other targets. So yeah, this one is going to, you know, it's already got, you know, 7 power. So when you hit, that's 21. It's got flying, so it's got that evasion. You're probably going to be able to get through and just take out one player with this just by attacking. You can also just take out, you know, important creatures, or you can probably take out another player, you know, with that extra damage that's dealing. Because again, it can deal 4 damage to any target, so that's going to be 12 damage to any target you want. That can take out pretty much any creature that you want, or, you know, it can really take a player down, another player down, and 3 damage at the 2 other targets, so that turns that into 9, so you're dealing out, a lot of damage with this every single time you attack and get damage, so it's gonna be huge. Dragon Lord Atarka is another one, 8-8 Elder Dragon with Flying and Trample. When it enters the battlefield, deals 5 damage, divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or planeswalkers you control. So that's gonna be 15 damage instead that you're basically just dishing out, which is huge. But again, an 8-8 with Flying and Trample, that's going to be 24 damage coming through. That's a lot. That can easily take out players. So again, it's not really at first sight a very versatile card, but, you know, it kind of can turn, you know, a damage-based deck into more of a, hey, now it's a Voltron deck because it can just take out players with one-shot kills, which is pretty fun. One that really just, you know, it wins right away with, doesn't need to attack with, is going to be Heartless Hidetsuko. It's a 4-3 Ogre Shaman that costs 3 red, red, and basically it deals damage to each player equal to half that player's life total rounded down. So yeah, this, I guess it's not really a win, because it's going to take you out as well, unless you've got a way to either prevent that damage or gain life or whatnot. Maybe you've got lifelink on it. But yeah, this is going to deal out an absurd amount of damage, you know, basically 3 times, you know, half of what everyone's life is, 1.5 times everyone's life. It takes everyone out. So yeah. Basically, you can find a way, obviously, to work around that where it takes you out, but yeah, it can be a really fun inclusion in that kind of a deck where you're just kind of a, hey, this is, you know, my the game's just gonna end kind of card, so don't mess with me or the game is just gonna end, and eventually you'll find out the way to kind of, you know, make it so that you don't lose as well. But yeah, really fun kind of card. Again, I think there's a lot of decks that could really use this. Again, I think it might be a pretty expensive card. It is a mythic rare. So yeah, it might get pretty expensive in price, but there are definitely a lot of decks out there that are going to want it. Again, like Nyx Bloom Ancient, where I think it would see a more play if it was more affordable, but still maybe we'll see a reprint. Again, I think that this card is definitely going to find a place in a lot of decks in Commander. So yeah, let me know in the comments below what you think about Fire Emancipation. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's going to be a Commander staple for certain decks? Are there any decks that you're going to be adding it to? So yeah, let me know in the comments below, and as always, thanks again and have a good one. And make sure you're following us on social media for more updates and sneak peeks on future episodes. Again, a huge thank you to my patrons who help make this show possible. I truly couldn't do any of this without your support. If you want to support this channel directly, consider becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, including being able to vote on future commanders for deck techs. There are even tiers where you get your own personalized deck tech dedicated to you. You can check out all the Patreon tiers and rewards at patreon.com/commandersquarters. If you haven't already, make sure that you like and subscribe to the channel. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about budget commander. So while you're at it, go ahead and check out some of our other types of episodes. And with that, I'm out of here. Thanks again, and have a good one.